Hello, I'm Dr. Steven Spielberg, Editor-in-Chief of Therapeutic Innovation and Regulatory Science, the Journal of the Drug Information Association. Welcome to our second podcast. Today we're going to be speaking about an exciting trend discussed in two papers and an editorial in our November issue, addressing an increasing role for patients and patient advocacy groups in clinical trials. Beyond being subjects in trials, patients are actively participating in the design of those trials and partnering with investigators, pharmaceutical companies, and regulatory agencies in addressing critical issues such as defining clinically meaningful endpoints and outcomes for clinical studies. With me today is Dr. Anne Rousey from the Office of Communications at the Center for Drug Evaluation and Research at the United States Food and Drug Administration, who is co-author of one of the papers in the November issue of Tears. Dr. Rousey, can you describe to me some of the activities at FDA related to bringing patients to the forefront in clinical investigation, and particularly some of the activities described in your recent publication?
Hi, Dr. Spielberg. I'd be happy to. CDER is active in many public-private partnerships that gather patient input for the development of new drug development tools. The recent paper with CDER Director Dr. Janet Woodcock focuses on just one of those partnerships, which is our newest, and that's the Multiple Sclerosis Outcome Assessments Consortium, and that's often referred to as MOSAIC for short. MOSAIC's first goal is to develop a clinical outcome assessment tool to measure disability in MS patients, and they held a workshop in April to get the ball rolling. And at the workshop, representatives of all areas of the MS community were there, and that's including the scientists and clinicians from both FDA and EMA, as well as industry representatives, physicians, and patient advocacy groups. And I have to say that, in my opinion, the most important information that came out of the workshop was from the physicians and advocates. And that's because these are the people who are closest to the effects this disease has on patients, and they were able to very eloquently express the challenges that MS patients face and also the outcomes that patients find to be of utmost importance. Making sure that patients and their advocates are included in this work early and often is really the key to ensuring that the consortium will stay on track and that its end products, things like outcome assessments and endpoints, will be widely accepted by the entire MS community of stakeholders. I'd also like to tell you that in addition to our partnerships, FDA has launched the Patient-Focused Drug Development Initiative, and this initiative has a goal of obtaining patient perspectives on a wide range of diseases. And we've long believed that the drug development and review process can benefit a more expansive approach to obtaining the patient perspective. And this is because patients and their physicians have the unique ability to help us understand what factors matter most to the patient and when they're weighing the benefits and risks of therapies. And as a part of this initiative, FDA is holding a series of public meetings, each dedicated to a specific disease area. At these meetings, the reviewers and scientists get to hear, you know, directly from patients about their experiences with the disease and also with the existing treatment options. A report is then drawn up. It recaps the patient's perspective in their own words. And in fact, the series of report is called The Voice of the Patient. And I encourage your listeners to go to our website, and that's fda.gov, to see these reports and also to view the video recordings of these remarkable meetings. I'm sure they'll be impressed with how compelling the patient voice is and how valuable these meetings are to help us as an agency to see firsthand the effects the disease has on patients and their families.
You know, in addition to active involvement in defining outcomes of treatment that are meaningful to patients, your article also suggests that we're gaining insight into multiple different spheres of relevant outcomes. For example, for central nervous system diseases, the impacts of mobility, tasks of daily living, cognitive issues, as well as behavioral impacts. And for therapies with different mechanisms of action, impacts on these various different spheres may vary. Do you think that increased discussion with patients and their doctors may lead to better clinical trials to differentiate effects of different therapies, leading to more realistic labeling and perhaps more realistic expectations in real-world therapy?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you asked this question because patient involvement doesn't have to be limited to just gathering a list of the symptoms that are important to target or the functions that are important to preserve. A patient's firsthand account of the disease or condition as they experience it in the real world is also vital to the development and use of meaningful outcome assessments. And this information is particularly useful in the development of assessments that evaluate signs or symptoms that may change subtly over time. The patients who have lived through these subtle changes and the physicians who are practiced in treating patients, these are the people who are in the prime position to articulate how these small changes look and feel. Assessment developers can then use this information to determine precisely what about the patient experience should be measured, how to measure it, and then how to interpret what was measured. And that's in order to design the best assessment possible. And I anticipate that incorporation of the patient perspective from the beginning stages of development will provide more fine-tuned instruments that are better equipped to identify subtle changes and subsequently to tease out differences between therapies. And we have a shared goal with patients and industry for the development of and qualification of outcomes that have utility extending beyond clinical trials. Assessments developed with the patient and physician input from the beginning, used as endpoints in clinical trials, are then inherently useful for incorporation into the label, and then also for facilitating meaningful doctor-patient discussions of drug benefits and risks. And just to give you an example that came up during the Mosaic workshop, is that patients with MS not only care about relapse rates, they're also particularly interested in the effects of a new drug on specific day-to-day abilities. Things, as you were saying earlier, things like walking and gait, vision, fatigue, and cognition. And there are clinical trial endpoints currently in use that are able to assess some aspects of these particular abilities. However, just to use mobility assessments as a further example, relating the results of something such as the walking speed test or the 6-minute walk test, a physician trying to relate these to a patient's real-world activity is difficult and often not well understood. So these current measures are just not as useful as everyone would wish. So if you can imagine an outcome assessment that measures a patient's ability to perform an activity such as walking from their house to the bus stop or walking from the bus stop to their job, the value of this type of assessment is that its utility can then extend beyond the clinical trial and labeling and directly land itself into discussions between patients and physicians. And that is because patients can then readily relate that mobility information to an effect on a meaningful part of their daily life and then weigh the importance of these effects against any potential drug side effects.
Do you think this could lead to better individualization of treatment for specific patient needs, perhaps requiring more than one therapy?
Yes, I do, especially when we're thinking about treatments for chronic conditions with a range of symptoms that may change, you know, over time or with the course of the disease. And again, going back to MS, the functions like vision, cognition, sexual function, and mobility, these functions that a patient identifies as important to preserve, that's highly personal. And patients often reprioritize these functions over time and as the severity of their disease changes. So by taking that example of walking to or from the bus stop just a little further into the future, if a drug label includes this type of information, that will bring patients more actively into treatment decision making. If a patient can understand the labeling's description of benefits and then clearly envision how that drug may improve their day-to-day life, they can then take a greater role in choosing the combination of therapies that has the potential to maintain the functions that are important to them as individuals at that point in time. But I have to say, on the other side of the coin, these types of outcomes will also help patients to weigh the risks of various treatment options, you know, just to make better informed decisions about the trade-offs that they're willing to accept in order to achieve certain benefits. And, you know, I have to caution a little bit here that I'm looking into the crystal ball, but, you know, if developers can start their processes with patient input from the beginning and then keep that perspective in mind throughout development, we might see more success in the individualization of treatment regimens.
It really is an exciting perspective and one where it will enable and facilitate therapeutic partnerships between physicians and their patients and give patients much better insight into the risks and benefits of drugs. Looking forward, how can patients and patient advocacy groups learn more about how they can partner with the FDA?
So yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the patient-focused drug development meetings and consortia or other public-private partnerships are all excellent ways for patients and advocacy groups to partner up with FDA. In fact, we've observed that highly successful partnerships typically have strong, active patient advocacy groups on board. So I encourage companies and advocacy groups that are interested in participating in these partnerships to contact CDER's Office of Translational Sciences for more information. Another way that patients themselves can get involved and serve as a voice for their community is to take part in the FDA Patient Representative Program. Participants in this program are patients or their family members that are willing to share with us their unique perspective on serious and life-threatening diseases, and also their perspective on the current treatments. These representatives can participate in FDA advisory committee meetings, and they also serve as consultants to our review divisions. And these representatives play a very important role by adding that invaluable patient point of view to FDA's decision-making processes. For patients and advocates interested in learning more about patient-focused drug development or the patient representative program, I encourage them to visit FDA's Patient Network website, and that's at Patient Network, which is all one word, so patientnetwork.fda.gov.
Dr. Razi, thank you so much for your insights into this important area. This is clearly an evolving and important aspect of therapeutic innovation and regulatory science, and one that I trust that TIRS and DIA will continue to participate in the coming years.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure, and thanks again for giving me the opportunity to talk more about MOSAIC and also FDA's patient-focused efforts.
This concludes our podcast for today. For more information about the articles in the November issue of TIRS, please visit our website, tirs.sagepub.com.